talk from the heart, especially if you're a co-founder or founder. It's your idea, it's your thing. If it comes from the heart, it's most likely going to resonate better than having a marketing spin on it.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan Podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. Before you get inspired, though, we are a show funded by our sponsors. They make all of this possible. If they weren't buying the ads, we would not be producing the episode. So brands, retailers, excuse me for a second or two whilst I speak to our supplier side listeners. We still have some sponsorship slots left for the end of 2024. So if you want those, then let me know ASAP. Please get in touch with me via ecmp.info/sponsor if you want to get in front of our gorgeous audience. And we will imminently be opening up 2025 as well. So if you want to be first in for that, just let me know. Okay, ad break over. In this episode, we're talking to a super exciting footwear startup who are trying to do something very different in the children's footwear market. This is a very cool episode if you are trying to create a more sustainable fashion brand, trying to work out what to do with the end of life of your products. It's also very cool if you're in startup land and you're trying to work out what to do next. So make sure you listen right to the end of the episode so you don't miss out on my guest top tips and my own take on this episode. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500, yes, 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook. And now to introduce our special guest. Stuart Davis is the co-founder, CEO, and everything else at Dubs, a footwear brand on a mission to disrupt the kids' shoes industry. They are clearly having an impact as, at the time of recording, they've just been shortlisted for 4 awards at the Draper's Footwear Awards. Launched in 2022, they're selling via their Shopify store and Stockist network. Hello, Stuart.
Hey, Chloe. How are you?
I'm good. Really excited to talk to you. Doing my research, every extra page of your website I looked at, the more excited I got because you are doing something everybody should be doing. So great to have you here. How did you end up in e-commerce?
Bit of a whirlwind story. So it kind of happened in the first lockdown, the first UK's lockdown. So I've always liked trainers. And at the time, I was a newish dad. I'd buy a pair of trainers. This is my daughter, who's Layla, who's 2 at the time. So she rocked up. I was like, great, I'm going to buy her a nice pair of trainers. I didn't really realize she had wide feet at the time. So I'd stuff her into my favorite pair and a little toe. And like kids at that age, they don't really, you can't really tell that they've got their sort of nerve endings aren't quite working in their toes probably, so she couldn't really say anything, etc. I'm not a terrible dad, I promise, don't take it off me. But her little toenail sort of got a little bit deformed, and I was like, blimey, that's not cool. So I obviously looked into that. And then during lockdown, I lost my job, and luckily my wife is still working, so it was me and Layla sort of like cooped up in a room for the best part of 4 months. And I didn't realise that kids' feet just grow ridiculously quickly, and I was surrounded by these shoes. I didn't know what to do with them. We couldn't go anywhere. And some of them she'd only worn a couple of times and her feet were too big for them. And I was like, okay. So I did everything I could to keep her entertained. So I ended up turning them into flower pots. Or I'd drill little holes to them and sort of put wheels in them for little dolls to try. Because like we're quite a mindful family in the sense that I like repairing things and I don't easily throw things away. So that was actually quite good fun. But the more I looked into it, I realized I wanted to find a brand of shoes that, you know, cared for kids' feet, that were I mean, there's a buzzword now, but sustainable, and I do hate that word, but I couldn't quite find anything. And luckily, she's at the age where she's still napping. Like, she's having 37 minutes per day. And I was like, blimey, that's do something. And me and my friend, who also lost his job, who was a graphic designer at the time, we used to jump on Zoom calls and just try and keep our minds occupied. And we sort of, I was bemoaning about Layla's crazy fast-growing feet. And he actually was a fashion designer. And we were just moaning about the lack of solutions to this. And we came up with an idea of, I know, because rather than trying to make sourdough, which would have been a lot less stressful, he said, let's try and make the immortal sneaker. And that kind of was the beginning of it. So I kind of like just threw myself into learning everything I could about shoemaking and circularity. Long story short, I guess, before too long, we came up with a concept and an idea that we tried our hardest to get into production. And that was the beginnings of it. So it's a wild journey, to be honest. It still feels really surreal. It feels like it was yesterday, but it's been a roller coaster of learning and testing and relearning and designing and learning some more. So that was the beginnings.
So the lockdown inspiration, and it was like, shall I make a sourdough loaf or shall I design the immortal sneaker? Yeah, let's just ignore the bread. Let's go for the sneaker.
I know it sounds daft, but it kind of was that. I mean, I was like, how about bait? I was looking at things that kids run out of a lot because that's the sort of space we was looking at. And I was like, let's make baby grows even. No, they're a bit boring. Let's make diapers. No, that's a bit yucky. And I just went, hang about. What about trainers? And Gary, my co-founder, I was chatting to him about all the troubles I've had. We're both sort of a bit nerdy. We're into like Marvel and DC. And he's like, let's make the immortal sneaker. And I just went, ding, yeah, we can have cartoon characters and we can have this, we can have that. Growing up, I followed a guy called Captain Planet, which is a cartoon. And, you know, I was like, that guy's great. He's way ahead of his time. And those are the beginnings of it.
Love that story. So you're a few years on now. You've successfully designed the shoes. You are launched and you're selling. You're getting attention because you've got those amazing awards nominations. Which bit of the journey's been your favourite from the idea through to now?
I'm a bit of a realist, you know. I don't feel like I've made it yet. It's self-funded, this project, and I'm still kind of working full-time to fund it and working evenings, weekends, trying to be a good dad and husband and all the stuff that comes with the startup. So I don't feel like I can pat myself on the back yet, but there was this one moment where when I started this journey, loads of people were very much, why are you doing this? It's crazy. You don't know anything about that. Some people were very sort of almost downright rude about it. And I was like, well, I really believe in so on and so forth. And there were two moments when I also said no to a few interviews and some job opportunities. And I did doubt myself. I was like, what the hell am I doing? But there was a moment where one thing I did know how to do is run advertising campaigns. So we launched through Kickstarter. And that's sort of my background from the marketing advertising world. And the moment I pressed click on launch, I had a little bit of a moment to myself, thought, oh, this is it. And I felt so empowered by that. And another moment was this LinkedIn post I put down where my headline, I'm getting a bit emotional thinking about it, was I've done it. I've launched my own brand. And that's when I was officially a brand owner and an e-commerce company owner, co-founder. Obviously, a couple of days later on, I had loads of admin to do. I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. But that moment was amazing. And this is the best job I've ever had. I get to make my own decisions, my own creative decisions. If I cock something up, it's on me and I can reverse it or I can live with it. And it's pretty easy to feel quite empowered by that. And I'm doing something good. I'm trying to solve a real life problem through my products, which is pretty wild. So that was my two moments. And I don't think I let myself have many more until I can say it's, until I can work full time on it.
Yeah, that's the next big one, isn't it? It's like it exists. We've got traction. Now we need to get it to the point where we can devote all the time and energy we want to it. So we've not really talked about the product yet. So I think we should cover off what the product is. What are the pillars on which you've built the immortal sneaker? What does immortal mean in Dubs land?
The immortal sneaker is... it's an ongoing project, shall we say, because I don't think I'm ever going to be able to make an immortal sneaker. So there's a few things. First of all, we wanted to firstly make a shoe that was incredibly comfortable for kids' growing feet, because there's some shocking stats around that, like 4 million kids are walking around with shoes that aren't correct fit for them, and that goes on to longer-term health problems. So that was first and foremost. We didn't want to be like the fast fashion brands that shrink down adult sizes into small. We took the time and effort and cost to develop those. So that's first and foremost. Secondly, everything that we did had to have circularity running through it. It's, I can say sustainable, right? It's a horrible word, but we wanted to design the shoes with their end in life in mind. Now, it's quite complicated because to be fully circular is going to take a lot of investment and time to get there. But what we're trying to do, first and foremost, is build the foundation so that when we get to that point, we can actually pivot well and put in place the circular economy, the design economy into the shoes. So we've made them so that they're harder wearing, they're more forgiving in terms of wear and tear. And we've tried to use, given our budget and the state we're in, the most planet-friendly materials we can. So the upper is made from recycled plastic bottles, which is great. It's really good, in fact. It's probably not right now the most sustainable thing to do, but it's a very good starting point.
But it's like the whole thing, sustainability, and I agree, it's a really weird word that it doesn't really mean anything, but we overuse it. But we'll use it for the sake of not having anything else. But it's a journey, and it's about doing what we can at the moment we can do it and putting those building blocks in place. And like you're saying, making it as long-lasting a shoe as possible means it can be passed from child to child to child to child, which massively reduces or extends the lifespan of that product, thus reducing the carbon per wear, or however we want to calculate it.
Yeah, we want to keep our shoes out of landfill on kids' feet for as long as possible, as well as the materials and the fit for kids. Then there's this circularity. So to begin with, we've partnered up with a charity so that all outgrown Doves can be sent to them for free and they can go on to kids that need them the most. That's a fabulous stepping stone. I've just pressed go working with a fabulous resale partner so that now parents can resell Doves on our platform to other parents, which is fantastic. So that's a really, really good step forward.
Nice.
There's an evolution of that where I'd love to be able to, from a more sort of business point of view, you can sell the product to another parent or you can redeem that cost. You can sell it back to us for a Doves voucher, and maybe there's a subscription model that goes into there, and then there's this whole circular e-com model where almost like a loading of the kids' shoe. That's the point I would love to get to eventually. But all these little baby stepping stones we're making now, hopefully, will collectively, when the time is right, form this big fat platform that we can easily build upon. And I was working with South Bank University, London South Bank University, on sort of the carbon footprint of our shoe and how much energy it uses and so on. I totally forgot his job titles. This is going to be made up, but it's like professor of sustainability. Definitely not that. But he was saying like it's impossible to be fully sustainable. Like the best thing you can do is make a product that lasts forever, never degrades, never biodegrades, and it's just there. But of course, you're going to have a landfill issue once you don't need to use that product. So pick a pillar, or pick a lever, and pull on it, and do the best you can on that, and be a model of continuous improvement. And in a year's time, something else. A year's time, and so that's. That was really good for me as a startup in this space where I'm so keen to avoid greenwashing and so keen to be honest and truthful that the pressure came off me a tad, because I was very much, Christ, I need to do this and this and this before I launch, and I need to do that and I need to know this. Like, I wanted to be perfect, and I don't have the money to be perfect, but equally, I don't have the time, and I don't think anyone can be. And tech is always evolving.
It is that thing, isn't it? It's like you say, you don't have the time and the money to get to the perfect point at the moment. The planet doesn't have the time for us to wait for the perfect scenario. We've just got to do what we can to change perceptions, to make a better sneaker. And if it lasts twice as long and creates less problems in the manufacturing, you're halfway there and you're building in that reuse model into there. And I love how you've got this kind of long-term vision and you're putting the building blocks in you can put in at the moment as you grow brand awareness and as you grow that knowledge of everybody. So you're here in the UK. Are you selling purely in the UK at the moment, or are you selling overseas as well?
For us and the listeners, yes, I'm selling in the UK only. On Instagram, I've got some friends in America and Australia who've got pairs. So in theory, I've sold out there, but yeah, UK only at the moment.
So Stuart, the team set up. At the moment, I'm guessing there's you and your co-founder, you're both doing other jobs, so you must be stretched quite thinly. How do you divide things up between you and give Doves the focus it needs?
That is an incredibly good question. As best I can is the answer. I'm exceptionally good. No. I wear many, many hats, as does Gary. And it's hard. If I'm honest, I'm not giving Doves enough attention as I think it needs to take it to the next step, nor it deserves, because I can't do it. I can't actually physically do it anymore. So it's a really tough question to answer. It's how am I giving it? I'm doing it, I guess, the best I can, and whilst trying to stay relatively sane, which I don't think I am.
I often think that in all businesses, we have a permanently impossible list of things we want to do. Doesn't matter what your resources are, the list is always impossible. But when you're in the situation you're in, or when you have those constraints on your time, it just makes it so much more obvious when you're trying to make decisions about what to focus on and what not to focus on.
So I've got it in my head that I want to improve dubs 1% each day, and I'm pretty strict with that. So I have a decent to-do list. So my background is as a creative producer, and as such, I'm sort of used to dealing with multiple crazy things happening all at once all the time. My daughter's an absolute fruit loop in a beautiful way. So she keeps with my toes and energized. So I actually don't feel stressed out about it. I can manage things. I just wish I had more time to be able to execute them. And then some things do stack up, like I wish I had time to make more content. I wish I could sort of spend more time finding great independent shoe shops that share values as us and speak to them about dubs and those sort of things. But that would all come in time as we grow, you know. So I'm trying to not be too harsh on myself, and I get we're a sustainable startup, so like I don't want to have the pressures of VC on me going and have all. It's kind of quite okay. I wish we could move quicker and grow a little bit faster, but not to the extent that it's detrimental to the brand. Right now, the tone and the feeling of the brand is great, probably because I'm able to give it the right amount of love, but I do wish I had a touch more time on it.
Let's imagine we're a few years down the line and you've reached the point where you're full-time, you've got a team doing the right things. Where does Dubs go next? Because you said you want to have a buyback scheme, grow the marketplace, build the stockist list. What else is on your future dreams list? Or not necessarily dreams. Dreams sounds a bit unachievable. What's on your future plans list for Dubs? Where will we see you in 5 years' time?
Yeah, so apart from the obvious of having like a few more styles, I'd like to obviously get into other marketplaces, other countries. I think kids destroy things really quickly. So I'd love to move into kids apparel that has short shelf lives. And my daughter's now 6 and she comes home from school, bashed up lunch boxes, her clothes have got stuff all over them, you know, and start developing a brand that is fashionable, but made out of things that have been destroyed by kids. But also for me, I think as a brand storyteller, which we can become, we've got a really important and great opportunity to, you know, educate kids on things, how to change their relationship that they have with the stuff that they own, you know, teach them about the choices they make can have a great influence on the world that we live. Teaching them about circularity, repairing things, telling them about hearing the fact that these pair of shoes are essentially secondhand. They've had 5 owners. They've been to, you know, this many parks. They've climbed 25 trees. They've been to these festivals. What are you going to do with them? Really make it exciting for kids to be involved in the decision making of clothing. My wife said a really good, funny thing, actually. She forgot her bag for life when she went shopping, and she had to buy a bag from her supermarket, and she's quite embarrassed by that, having to buy, like, and I want kids to be like, yeah, these have had like 3 owners, that's amazing, it's a badge of honor, rather than going, oh, I've had to buy something new, you know, just changing the relationship they have with stuff. And if Dubs can be this sort of mouthpiece and telling these education stories through the lens of our brand, and at the same time it's a business selling great products that kids love, that would be ideal. Oh, and have a cartoon on CBeebies. That would be dope.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500, yes, 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook.
It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. Stuart, are you ready for the top tips?
Yes, please.
Okay, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
I'd recommend Creativity Inc. by Ed Catmull. He's the founder of Pixar. And he wrote almost like his a blueprint of how to run a creative agency. But what I loved about it is, obviously, I'm from a bit of a creative world, so I took a lot from that. But it can be applied to any sort of situation you're in terms of management. And not only was it very inspiring, it just gave me ideas. Like, he has this thing called a brain trust, where he invites people from all different walks from his company, all different walks of life, different departments, accountants, the cleaners, the guys that work in the canteens, and put forward an idea for the next script or an animation piece, and would ask for people's opinion. So he's actually doing internal sort of market research. I just love that open approach and that sort of thought that good ideas can come from anywhere. And just the way that there's little snippets of how to manage your time very well and allow you to be the most creative you can be. I thought that was a really cool book, and that could apply to, I try to get my mates to read it all the time, even the accountants and the boring folk. It's a really good book.
It is one of those things that people often don't realise, is that to be creative, a lot of planning goes into being creative, to create the space to be creative and the opportunity to be creative and make sure the creativity works. I love that recommendation. Okay, traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
That's a tough one. I mean, for me, it's not really a marketing top tip, but it's organic growth, because I find, for me, to grow organically is speaking from the heart, setting some real truthful tone of voice pillars for your brand, and being honest and not too markety and not too like robotic. And I find that really gets sort of the get friend mechanic. And I find that really powerful. You're very more likely to buy from a recommendation of a friend. And if I've got an army of people that have dubs saying how great they are, and every time I respond to a post or I talk about my product, it's the way that the little characters I've designed talks, and the way that the product, it gets this sort of feeling. For me, that if you're going to start a brand, or if you have a brand and trying to grow, I'd always say that, talk from the heart, especially if you're a co-founder or founder, because it's your idea, it's your thing. And if it comes from the heart, it's most likely going to resonate better than having a marketing spin on it.
I think that's a brilliant answer. Thank you, Stuart. And yeah, we all have to do that if we want to cut through the noise at the moment as well. So love that answer. Tool top tip, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
I know it sounds daft, but like, just Google for me, Google Business, because the ability to co-create decks at the same time is just, I think it's amazing. I don't think certainly people that I have worked with, they don't use it enough, or that functionality. I can write a deck or sort of design a shoe whilst on the train, and Gary can market and say it's rubbish because he's a designer, but he can do it in live time, and it just saves so much versioning and saving out. Imagine writing a document, saving it out to your desktop, putting it to an email and sending it to someone. Ugh. You can just like do it.
Yeah, not. It's. I'm thinking back to when we had to do that, and I am not thinking fondly of those times.
Oh, no. I can't even imagine. Like, for me, I can't even imagine now. I literally, as sad as it is, for someone who's a bit of a tech nerd, I live on my phone, and it's just so easy. And that's probably another reason why, being a startup with just two of us, we're actually able to do more than we should be able to, because we're really efficient with the way that we work.
Yeah, and Google, the whole Google app system is just phenomenal for enabling all of that. So cool.
Yeah.
Great recommendation. The carbon top tip. What's your favourite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
This is an argument I have all the time with myself. Well, we pretty much work from home, so that's handy. But of that, you don't have the creative togetherness. But for me, I think it's always packaging, because I haven't seen the data or the stats on it. I don't know how much brand loyalty you get back from decent packaging. but we've tried to strip ours right back to something quite simple. And I bought a t-shirt the other day and it came in the most elaborate packaging. And I was just like, that's just ridiculous. I looked at it for 5 seconds, like, that's cool. Oh, my t-shirt. And then I threw the packaging away. And I just thought the amount of money and the amount of energy wasted that goes into that. For us, that's probably the thing. And it's also the thing most I've got a lot of control over. I can change it, you know, like I can choose not to have packaging if I want to, which probably wouldn't be wise, but you know, I have control over it. So, and there's some great packaging companies out there that do sort of reuse and quite sustainable focused, reusable packaging, which is quite cool.
Yeah, it is, like you say, it's completely within your control. It's an easy fix because there's so many options out there and so much advice on how to make it work. And it's so noticeable to the customer as well. Yeah, I always love a packaging recommendation. Stuart, before we say goodbye, could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business on the web and social media?
Yeah, thank you. So the website is dubsuniverse.com and all the products on there. And our Instagram is at the dubsuniverse.
Simple as that, everybody. Go and check it out. It's a brilliant website, brilliant products. Stuart, thank you so much for being on the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. It's been fascinating hearing more about your story, and I cannot wait to see where you go next.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
What a fascinating business. Really interesting to hear how Stuart created the business and those challenges they're currently dealing with. And I, for one, really hope they make it through and, you know, take that business where it could go, because what they're trying to achieve, I think, is really, really brilliant. You can get your hands on the notes from this episode, including the top tips and links to what we've mentioned, by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast. Or use our direct episode short links. Just put ecmp.info/the number of this episode into the URL bar and you'll be redirected straight to the episode page. When you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. If you liked this episode, then scroll back a couple, because we've just had some absolutely brilliant sustainable, if you love or hate that word, but you know what I mean, sustainable fashion brands on over the last couple of episodes. Some super inspiring stories, all three, including this one, at very, very different stages. So go on, have a listen and get inspired. You can also find all our fashion episodes at ecmp.info/fashion. Thank you for tuning into this and every episode of the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I hope you have a great week, and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.
It's time to download our 500 top tips to make your e-commerce business more profitable ebook. Go to ecmp.info/ebook now.